broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And I just said that like one of our northern neighbors talking about, didn't I?
Yeah, it's kind of like a Canadian, but not too bad.
No. Thank you. So, Bud, you and Robert are going to have the Bud and Robert debate tonight. That will happen in our next quarter hour, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. What we're going to talk about is what we was talking about in the last hour, about whether or not... I forget what it was. What was this about?
About that lady, if she had one leg or something?
No. It's about the one-legged wife.
Yeah.
Fine. I'm not even going to, you know, for a moment there, I found myself saying, yeah, this is a bad idea. No. We'll let you just, whatever you guys want to debate, okay? So it's about the one-legged wife.
Yeah, the will of Paul McCartney. Unless we change our mind.
Yeah, we might want to do something different.
Whatever, that's fine. Okay. So that'll be in the next quarter hour as Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard debate Paul McCartney's one-legged wife. And, you know, whatever. All right, so I want to recommend a movie. Should I get into this or not? I don't know.
I think it's pretty interesting.
Well, I saw a flick today. You guys got to see this movie. It's a, I'm not the biggest TCM watcher. I do occasionally go over to their free channel, not because it's free. I mean, all of the stuff is free, but I like to see what they have on demand. But I saw a flick today. It was the greatest movie in the world. And it was like Cape Fear, only the guy that does the stalking is the good guy. And it was a movie called Act of Violence. You got to see this flick. It takes place in California, and the war, World War II, has just ended, and everybody's come home, and now they're having their lives. And the one of these guys is played by Van Heflin, and he is he's a builder, he's a contractor, he's building beautiful homes, this, that. He's got a wife, played by a very young Janet Leigh, Janet Leigh. I keep wanting to call her Janet Leigh, and not for the reason you think, you know.
Well, how do you spell it?
L-E-I-G-H.
Yeah, that's Leigh.
No, it ain't. It's Lee. Janet Leigh. Very young Janet Leigh, and boy, was she smoking hot when she was, however old she was when this movie was made. I don't know how old. Maybe late 20s. And anyway, so this guy is a veteran, like a lot of men were, and they've all come home. But there's only one problem. Just like in Cape Fear, this guy's family's being stalked by a really angry guy with a grudge. And that guy's played by Robert Ryan. And he walks with this really bad limp. I say exaggerated, it's a really bad limp. And he wants to find this Van Heflin, and he's got a gun, and he's going to kill this guy. All right. Well, here's where the movie gets really interesting. You see, he's got a good reason. Unlike in Cape Fear, where the character wants to kill the lawyer and his wife and his daughter because he's just a psycho and he can't stand the fact that he's a bad man and he went to prison and somebody put him there, and so he wants to, you know, get payback that way. This dude that is stalking this wholesome, clean-cut American guy, this former comrade of his in the war, has a good reason for killing this guy. But you don't know that yet. Now, I tell you, this flick is great, and unlike other movies I've talked about, I will not spoil it for you. I'm not going to spoil it. I'm not going to give it away.
Yeah, but you said that in the movie...
Shut up, bud. I'll kill you this time, man. I mean it. Don't give it away. You're just going to have to watch it, but I'm telling you, it's dynamite. And I'll just tell you this much, that the two main characters, Van Heflin and Robert Ryan's characters, were comrades in World War II and were friends and shared the same aircraft. They were both pilots. They were aviators in the war. So that's that. And then they come home, and it's a great snapshot of post-war America. It's sort of the optimism that was happening in the country at that time, the incredible economic expansion that was happening. So you can see this guy he's a builder. He's building homes, and along comes this thing. It's really, really cool. And I know that they were doing it. Like Nicholas Ray, who was the director of Rebel Without a Cause, I think he
turned 100 today.
No, he didn't turn 100 today. If he was alive, he would have turned 100.
Yeah, man, that guy ain't alive, man. He only had one eye.
Oh.
Well, what's that got to do with it?
I don't know. How long does a guy with one eye live?
I don't know. What is it with you guys anyway? Only had one eye, and you're going to debate about one leg? What do you mean he only had one eye?
Yeah, I've seen a picture of him and everything. He had a patch over his eye.
Yeah, maybe he had astigmatism.
What's that mean?
Sometimes you got to put a patch on your eye to strengthen up the other eyeball, but a lot of people wear a patch because it make them look like a pirate.
Yeah, sure.
I swear to God.
I don't know anything about that, man. So they put a patch over your eye to strengthen the other eye.
Yeah, on account of you got astigmatism.
Huh. Didn't know that. Yeah, a lot of guys, it used to be if you saw a guy with a patch over his eye, you thought he'd been in a bar fight or something.
Yeah, be like a pirate or something.
Yeah. But, I mean, who would wear a patch over their eye if they could wear, like, a fake eye or something?
I wouldn't wear a fake eye because the eyeball doesn't move.
No. That's wrong. The eyes that they have now, the fake eyes that they have now, I think they do shift around, don't they?
I don't know, man. I've seen Sammy Davis Jr., his eyeball stayed put. It didn't move or anything. So he'd be over looking at you, and the eyeball's still looking straight ahead.
Yeah, the least they do if they make an eyeball is to have the eyeball look at a place where you would normally look, you know?
No, I don't.
Well, in other words, if you got to have a glass eye and your eyeball's moving all over the place, wouldn't you have the glass eye look at where you most usually would look?
What do you mean where you most usually would look, bud? Where is that?
I don't know. It's straight ahead.
Okay, well, if you have a glass eye, probably that's what they'd have the eye looking straight ahead.
Well, yeah, but it looks weird on Sammy Davis Jr.
Sammy Davis Jr. got a glass eye, but oh, well, you get out of here, both of you idiots.
I'm just telling you, Sammy Davis Jr.'s eyeball never moved.
All right, so it never moved. I don't know. I don't know anything about it, man. I don't know anything about how those prosthetics work. God bless the people that have to use them. I don't, and I consider myself very fortunate. And bless their hearts, the people that have to deal with that. The eyeball looks straight ahead. Where do I usually look? Well, I guess I usually look straight ahead.
Well, how come it looks funny?
But there's no way that you can predict where does a guy usually look. Have the eye, you mean, you know, more often than not, the eye will be pointed in the same direction as the other eye? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
It's impossible, man, to come up with some silly ass. Shining light on $4.7 billion solar loans. Oh, baby. Baby, baby, baby. The Solyndra probe is getting hotter, baby. House Oversight Committee Chairman Daryl Issa is expanding the investigation to include more than $4.7 billion. How come this is always led by the opposition party? Why isn't it just, you know, in other words, if we were truly a nonpartisan country, had a nonpartisan approach to solving problems, which we don't have, even though we like to think that we do, why has it got to be a Republican that's ferreting this stuff out? Are there any Democrats that are looking into this stuff? It's the House Oversight Committee. I understand that. But the chairman of it is a Republican, Daryl Issa, and he is very fascinated by this investigation, and he is going to keep expanding the investigation. Now, it includes more than $4.7 billion in federal loans the Obama administration rushed to solar power companies last month. So now he wants to investigate all of the solar power companies. This is going to be a nightmare, folks. The investigation originally focused on the $535 million federal loan lost when politically connected Solyndra went bankrupt. But now, this guy, Issa, or Issa, or Issa, we also, for ice cream. Anyway, this is going to involve all the solar power companies that the Obama administration has lent money to. I suppose that is the most prudent thing to do. And yet, these were monies, ladies and gentlemen, that were given to these companies last month. The Solyndra problem emerged during the summer. I don't know. I could be crazy. But I don't know that it is the most prudent thing in the world to start throwing money at solar companies, solar power companies, when you've got one that's already gone belly up and you're going to have most likely an investigation around and a whole lot of really lost money. And let's just start throwing all of this money and see whether it sticks. I think people who are really cynical and really think Obama is the scum of the earth and the Antichrist, I think they're all on the same page on this one. We've got to investigate everything the guy's ever done. And I don't think that's the smartest move. I really don't. Boy, we need leadership. Folks, forget about Obama. All right, if you don't like him, you don't think he's a good president, great. Who have we got?
Well, he's supposed to lead. He's the president.
All right, I understand he's supposed to lead. How does the guy lead if he's got everybody in the world against him, okay? If he's got the Republicans saying he's a socialist, if the country hates his guts, okay, fine. I guess the verdict's in. We made a mistake. He was elected president. He shouldn't be president. He stinks. Stop him at all costs. This, that, this, that, this, that. Who have we got besides him? Anybody want to raise their hand and tell me who can take the tiller of government, if you will, the helm of government, and negotiate these waters while we wait for another election? Are we supposed to sit on our ass with our thumb parked in our ear and not do anything while the country goes to hell in a handcart? What do you suggest? Anybody got any ideas? The answer to that question is a big, fat, resounding no. Nobody's got any ideas. Nobody's taking this seriously. People forget, you know, what America... America is a country where individuals pursue individual dreams. The only reason in the world why anybody thinks about the government is because it's the government that has ensured these freedoms by way of the Constitution. Otherwise, we wouldn't give it a second thought. We're so immersed in the marvelousness and the glory and the glamour that is our own lives. And that's as it should be. That is mankind. That is the status. Forget about all the other ideals that you may believe in, how we're supposed to love each other. That's all marvelous, and I'm sure someday we may all come to a realization. But the reality, folks, the existential reality, the Kafka reality, if you will, is that we're into us, and that's it. Every time I hear somebody open their big fat yap about what ought to be done, I'm thinking that guy is really only speaking out of self-interest. That's the human condition. It doesn't piss me off. It doesn't make me angry. I'm not disgusted by it. I revel in my fellow man. That's who we are. So now we're faced with something where it's going to take a little extra. Now you got to kind of get your head out of your own ass, and you got to pay attention to what's happening in Washington. You don't learn it on the run. It doesn't take you 5 minutes to figure it out. You got to know what the hell is going on, and you got to study it, and you can't just open your mouth and go, ba, 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 and out come pearls of wisdom, because that's not the way it goes. But that's what's happening anyway. A whole lot of people late to the party are giving their opinion. And what's it worth? Well, a whole lot of people late to the party are giving their big, fat opinion about all kinds of things, and that includes people that are in the government, people in public service. Some of them... don't know what they're saying either. So, I don't blame you, man. I think Obama blew it. I think whoever's involved in this cylinder, these guys, they blew it. But I don't think you throw the baby out with the bathwater, man. And I'll tell you something else. If you spend the next year and a half looking at everything that was done wrong, and we're never going to ever get out of this. We're always going to be indicting the other party. We're always going to be looking for somebody to put on trial. We're always going to be looking for someone to impeach. We're always going to be looking for some criminal. We're always going to be self-righteous, sanctimonious asses pounding our chests and talking about how evil the other side is. And I'll tell you, while I endorse the idea that we need to rethink how we make money in this country, and that's why I like Occupy Wall Street. These clowns out on that bridge and that whole Occupy Wall Street or Occupy Your Mom or whatever the hell they're calling it.
Yeah, Occupy Your Mom.
I know. I mean, those cats are losing credibility by the second. Every time they open their mouth to a camera, any camera, it's getting dumber and dumber. All right, speaking of dumber and dumber.
It's time for our debate.
Exactly. Bud and Robert next on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here. And don't forget, our website is philhendryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
By the way, and welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, we are about to initiate a new feature on the show, which is the Bud and Robert debate, but I haven't heard you guys do an iron swine.
Oh, we're going to do an iron swine tomorrow. We have an iron swine tomorrow. We just haven't had time to think it up.
Yeah, but we don't want to say what it is or nothing.
No, don't say what it is, but so that's tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right, it's time now for our Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard debate. Tonight, I think you're debating Heather Mills and her one leg. Is that it?
That is correct, yeah. What do you want to do?
You start. Hold on. You start, and then I'll do.
All right. Paul McCartney, he married a lady. She didn't have one leg. The lady he married now is Jewish. The lady he married was one-legged, but she was a model. And that still probably he thought she was hot.
Yeah, well, I mean, he had to know she had one leg, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, she had to know if they were nude, and I don't want to say anything about that they probably were nude, you know, before when he was married.
Yeah, okay. So then he knew if they got nude, they got nude, you know, like they got,
If they had intimacy.
Yeah, then they'd know, he'd know that she had one leg.
Okay, yeah, that much we know. So he must have loved her, because if you don't love nobody, I mean, if you don't love nobody and you're just going to marry a girl for sex, let's say, wouldn't you marry one with two legs? The answer, of course, is yes, you would.
Yeah, so we're in agreement on that one. Now, there comes another, did he love the lady he married to now? See?
Well, she's got both legs.
Yeah, but do you know that? That we're not hearing anything about how many legs she got. But let's say she's got both legs. Now he's married to a lady. Does he love her? She's Jewish. She comes from New Jersey. Her dad is like a trucker or something. I don't know. I would have to say I agree with Phil that he does love her.
Yeah, okay. But you said one thing there that you said she's Jewish. Can Paul McCartney love a Jewish girl? Yeah, because he's a hippie and everything there. But considering the fact that his first wife had breast cancer, the second wife had one leg, you gotta ask what's wrong with this one. Is she missing a boob or what? You know.
What are you talking about?
Okay, figure it out. The first wife got breast cancer. The second wife had one leg. Now, the new wife, is she missing? It could be that she's missing something.
Well, I mean, don't you think he'd say something about it?
Why? Why is he going to say anything? Was he going to say, oh, by the way, I'm marrying a girl and she's only got one boob?
Well, no, but I mean, she'd say something. Or be in a medical file or something like that.
What do you mean medical file?
The newspaper people, man, they're going to look up the medical file and find out the girl had one boob.
Oh, yeah, right. So you didn't tell me they're going to go look at a medical file. She's got one boob, and she's marrying Paul McCartney. Nancy Shovel of New Jersey, who come from a Jewish family, and she's got one boob, and she's marrying a Beatle. Doubt it.
Well.
Doubt it.
Well, all right, man, but I'm just saying.
Doubt it.
I'm saying the news media would say that.
Doubt it.
Hey, man, you can't just keep saying doubt it. You don't think the news media would look into that?
Doubt it.
Okay, bud, you can't just keep saying doubt it, okay?
I did.
Yeah, I know you did, but that's not a good debating technique, is it?
Doubt it.
Shut up.
I win.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do, because Phil had to jump in and say, shut up about doubt it, doubt it.
That doesn't mean he wins, does it?
Nobody wins. No one wins. There's no winner. There's no loser here. We want to hear you guys debate the issues of the day. And thank you very much. I think you did a splendid job there debating whether or not Nancy Shovel is missing a body part.
Well, that wasn't what it's supposed to be about. That's how it done got, though.
No, I know that. And by the way, both of you gentlemen, that's how it done got. You guys are going to really have to do reading and work on your elocution and all of these things, because your grammar is a horror story. Your grammar in and of itself is a crime, a murder scene. I did done do it.
Doubt it.
Okay. So that was very worthwhile. Thank you very much, guys. I'm not being facetious. I'm being, you know, not that it really, you know, it's not sparking all that much inside of me, but someone may probably wonder, is there something wrong with Nancy Shovel? Just as a point, Paul McCartney didn't marry Linda McCartney knowing she had breast cancer. She didn't have breast cancer.
When?
When he married her.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Oh, well, I'm so grateful that you guys see the sense in that, because he married the young lady back in the late 60s, early 70s. She was a kid. She was a young girl, and he married her, and she got breast cancer later on in life. So you can't say that this is some pattern. Paul McCartney married a girl with breast cancer, married a girl with one leg. There's got to be something wrong with this girl. All right, we'll be back here in the world-famous Phil Henry Show with more of our news and information hour, and philhenryshow.com as well.
Phil Henry.
Doubt it.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, every night to 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show. You know the rest. Oh, yeah.
But you think of the debate we had.
I already told you what I thought of the debate. It's fine. And I want you guys to refine your elocution, your speaking, blah, 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 blah. And I also want you to work on another Iron Swine. As you know, that's very popular.
Yeah, we're going to get an Iron Swine coming up probably tomorrow.
Very good. All right, now, I wanted to mention to you guys that I saw here as I was scrolling, as we do our multimedia search here on philhenryshow.com, and when we have our Phil TV and HD, as we do tonight, sometimes we have our multimedia approach where we will show you things from the internet. I just showed a picture, in fact, of an article called Solyndra and Solar versus the Republicans. And a little graphic there that shows Uncle Sam rolling up his sleeves, and it says, get involved, it's time to take America back. All right. Now, I thought it was very interesting because I was on an airplane in the 90s when Clinton was still president, and I heard on this aircraft, as I'd heard before, but I heard on this aircraft spoken at a level of voice which is about right here. And we all know and we've all heard people who are, even though that they are in public there and they're speaking to just one person, their voice is carrying and they're talking really loud. Are they doing it on purpose? I don't know. Some people don't realize how loud they're speaking. I was in a restaurant one time, and it's it was the restaurant of a resort that I like to go to in the desert. It's a very nice joint. And I like this place because there's spas and there's swimming, and it's I like to go to the desert because I like it nice and hot sometimes. I can't take the cold, man. I hate it. I've hated the cold ever since I was a kid. I would much rather be in 100-degree heat than in bloody cold weather. I can't stand it. But be that as it may, I'm sitting there one morning having breakfast, and there's a couple. There's a woman and a man. And they obviously, it was a romantic weekend. How do I know? Because she let me and everyone know it in the restaurant, even though she was speaking directly to him. And I remember he was holding her hand, and she was smiling. Oh, thank you very much for this wonderful weekend. And I want to thank you. This is the most glorious time. And oh, boy, you know.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you. And it was really, and then she got mad. How do you like the grapefruit? I think it's pretty good, too. You know? So there I am on this airplane. And I hear this guy, and he's, yeah, I'll tell you what, Bill, and he's talking like this, and I want my country back, you know? Yeah, you know, because they were talking about Clinton. And Clinton and the other thing, and I want my country back. So now this guy has been talking at this high-toned voice, and he sits down, he's got himself a laptop computer, and he puts it on that serving tray, and he opens that damn thing up, and he starts all of a sudden playing some electronic country music out of that thing. So now he's talking real loud, just like this, and out of that computer is coming, I got nothing against country music, understand, but this guy's big, fat, loud voice, along with his, it was driving me nuts, and so he made the mistake of leaning over and looking at me and saying, if this is too loud, you just tell me. I said, it's too loud. Just like me, within seconds. I mean, not even seconds, within a half a second. If this is too loud, let me know and I'll turn it down. Yeah, it's too loud, man. And, of course, he gave me a second look like what a, you know, A-S in a
hole.
Yeah. And he turned that crap down. And I'll tell you something else. Not that I had any great effect on him, but maybe it was just the fact that somebody finally said, just shut up. And I didn't hear a peep out of this guy for the rest of the trip. I don't think I did. Maybe I'm wrong. But I don't remember him bothering me anymore. Let me put it that way. I don't give a damn what a guy is, you know, talking about necessarily. It's the, hey, and another thing, it's talking up here, you know? Yeah, I'm sure we've all been in restaurants. And there's people talk at a certain tone. I don't know. Maybe it's you and I and a lot of us learned that when you're in a public place that you modulate your voice perhaps lower for a couple of reasons. One, you don't want everybody in the world knowing your business. That's normal. And number two, you certainly don't want to disturb anyone that may be disturbed by your loud talk unless you're drunk. If you're drunk, all bets are off. Then you're saying things really loud that are embarrassing, stupid, cruel, crude, and anything else. I remember being at a golf tournament once in Baja, Mexico, and we'd finished the first round, and we rolled up the coast from this place called Baja Mar to the very famous, what's the name of that lobster place in Baja? You guys all know it. It's the famous lobster joint. It was years and years ago. It's back when that Russian guy still owned it. I don't know who owns it now, but it was a great lot. It was a freaking, you know, it was a motel. You could rent rooms there, but everybody went there for the California lobster, which basically California lobster is not Maine lobster. California lobster is like big giant crayfish, but it's delicious. And out here in California, we take our California lobster, we barbecue it, or we grill it a little bit, yeah. I'm not trying to say it's as good as Maine lobster. No, it isn't, and I get that, but that's all we got. So, but there was a place down in Baja for years and years, if I could remember that. Oh, I know, the La Honda. La Honda or La Fonda? La Fonda.
Jane Fonda.
Not Jane Fonda. La Fonda. Yeah. And I know that people know, there's people right now tweeting me and letting me know, but it was a great place, and you go in there, and you got yourself, I'll tell you, the price was right, because you could have all the lobster and beer. At one time, if you hit them on the right night, he had a special, all the lobster and beer for $20, $20 a person, all the lobster and all the beer you could drink. And it was wonderful. It was just wonderful. And there was a Russian guy that owned it. You guys remember the Russian guy? I don't think he owns it anymore. I went in there one night. We had finished a couple of rounds of golf. I went in, and this guy was in his element. He was betting everybody. There was a fight on that night, and I forget who was fighting. Who do you think? Who do you like to fight, huh? Who do you like in the fight? Come on. And he's betting everybody, man. We're laying the money down. We had a ball. But I was in my cups that night, if you'll pardon the expression.
What's that mean, in your cups?
Drunk. And, man, I was just making with the loud, vulgar, and my friends later on were howling. And I said, what the hell are you guys laughing at anyway? You, man! You're the mouth on you tonight. And I was mortified. I had no idea. I just, you know.
Well, you know, you're down in Mexico, man. You got enough beer and lobster in you. And down in people loosen up down there.
I know, but I don't want to talk like a slob. But I was talking like a slob, so I can't take it back. But what the hell am I doing, man? What am I talking about now? Why do I always forget what I was talking about? Well, anyway, that was a beautiful night, and we were down in Mexico and we were eating lobster. I get off on these tangents. Oh, I know what it was. I was telling you guys about this Take Back America thing and the fact that this guy was talking loud. So, yeah, I was talking loud in this restaurant. But the people's voices carry. And the first time I ever heard the phrase, really, and it stuck with me, take back, I want my country back, was this clown with the big voice. And I remember thinking, I want my country back. And I remember thinking, you want your country back. What about my country? You know? And, of course, the unspoken challenge is, it is your country. You're just too stupid to see it. That's what he's saying to me. So if I'm to listen to him, he wants the country back, And I should join him in wanting his version of the country back, because whatever country I want back, I'm too stupid to know what I'm talking about. That's the thing. And so every 4 years, with every president, somebody wants the country back. And it was Dennis Miller, I think, who said very famously, "You want the country back? Go out and vote, you dumbass. There, you get your country back." Don't you mean you want the country back? All of this dramatic language that bespeaks a mentality of revolutionary, of somehow we've been usurped, of somehow the Constitution isn't working, of some, you know, if there's one thing that I resent violently, and I mean it'll get me so pissed that I don't care how old I am, you know.
Bad thing gonna happen.
That's exactly right. Bad things are gonna happen. If there's one thing that I resent, and I resent it like you wouldn't believe, are these asses that use this language that we're being usurped somehow. Somehow the Constitution's in shreds. You remember that? You remember that? The Constitution's in shreds. You know, what gives people the right, with the marginal education that they have on constitutional matters to begin with the marginal education they have on constitutional law to begin with, and even if they think they're educated in constitution, what gives people the right to be so ignorant in public? The Constitution's being... The Constitution has lasted since 1789.
No, 1776.
The Constitution, man.
The Constitution, not the Declaration of Independence. People are talking about how the government's broken, how we're being usurped. I have never seen, you know, I can tell you something right now. If God Almighty himself were personified for just a day, say in, the form of George Burns, and he came down to earth and he took a look at all of us, he would either cry himself sick or laugh himself sick, one of the two, to listen to Americans talk, a country of people that never had it so good, never had it so good. And we're being usurped, and the Constitution doesn't work, and the government's broken, and this and that. I never seen such a bunch of freaking babies.
You think it's broken, though?
Maybe. No, I don't think it's broken. I just think people like to talk that way because people like to hear themselves talk, number one, and people like to feel that there is some emergency, so they'll feel challenged enough to go out and do something. We don't get up off our dead asses around here to do anything unless we feel like the sky's falling. So why not act like Chicken Little? And I'm telling you, man, this is the day and the age of Chicken Little. The sky's falling every 5 seconds. I talked to somebody the other day on Twitter. The country's going down the drain. The country's been going down the drain since 1776. The country's been going down the drain since we've had newspapers. Since we've had people standing on corners talking about it, the country has been going down the drain. What do you think they said the first time they had that whiskey rebellion out there in Pennsylvania and the president had to send federal troops out to put it down? The country's going down the drain. Where do they get off taxing our whiskey? This is a bad idea, this whole America thing. Look at this, man. All I want to do is drink some whiskey. They want to lay a tax on me, and now they're sending the troops out here to get the tax at the point of a gun? You think that being taxed and being outraged about taxes is something new? All this brave talk about guys taking the tax money from me at the point of a gun. That's exactly what happens if you don't pay your taxes. Ask old Georgie Washington, the father of our country. You know, the guy with the wig and the funny-looking face on the dollar bill? Yeah, that guy. He went out with a gun. He stuck it right in their hillbilly faces, and he said, "Guess what? We got a tax on your whiskey. Any problem with that?" "No, sir. I didn't think so. I'm George Washington. I kicked ass on the British. Now all of you hillbillies out here are going to pay up. Because guess what? We got a Revolutionary War debt. We're up to our ass in hock. We can't pay for anything. And we're going to have to start paying for stuff around here. And you guys are going to kick in. I don't give a damn whether you like it or not." That's the father of our country. So don't give me all this founders, what they thought and what they didn't think, and the Tea Party. The Tea Party, they're great people and they're patriotic people, and I understand that. Just get out of your three-cornered hats, okay? And quit acting like jackasses. Talk about the issues and quit telling me what you think Thomas Jefferson thought, because you don't know. And the same goes for you clowns out there on the progressive end of things. You Occupy Wall Street people. Pull your head out of your ass, get your crap together, and get back to me. Thank you.
Hey!
Thanks very much, bud.
Pretty good.
All right, we're going to be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry, the world-famous Phil Henry show, although we are thinking of dropping show and just the world-famous Phil Henry, see if that draws any more people. We'll be right back with our final segment here on our news and information hour.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Hey, welcome back. 877-876-PHIL is our number. We're actually going to open up the phone a little bit here and take a phone call. I do want to remind you we're online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com, where you can go and get a backstage pass and listen to thousands of hours of archive material. Get our daily podcast of the radio show. Our podcast is a three-hour radio show minus the commercials, okay? Now, you may, you know, somebody's podcast. Wow, I listened to the so-and-so podcast. Wow, 40 minutes. Ooh, wow. Give the man a cigar. Ours is our three-hour radio show. We also have our classic Phil podcast, but we've got hours and hours and hours and hours and thousands of hours of archived radio on our website. So check it out at philhenryshow.com. And you can also see our five-day video archive. And on our video archive, of course, is our Saturday night show, of course, which is local only to Los Angeles. But everybody with a backstage pass can see it. 877-876-PHIL. Dean, how are you?
Well, Phil, I was doing very well until I tuned you in and heard you say that progressives... I heard you say something that hurt me a little bit. You said progressives don't have the guts to see the Middle East as it should be seen.
Well, you must have a backstage pass because I said that off the air.
Well, yes, you did. You said that during your commercial break.
Yeah, I did. I was talking to Dan. And I said how can you look at the Iranian revolution and what happened in Egypt and what happened in Tunisia and what's happened in Syria and what continues to happen in other parts of the Middle East? How can you look at that and say that the invasion of Iraq had absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with it?
Yeah, right. And then you said that progressives don't have, and I remember how you said it. You said progressives don't have the guts. You looked into the camera and went, guts, like that, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, I got to tell you that really, when you say I don't have the guts to do what?
What I said.
Well, I have the guts, Phil. I have the guts to say I don't have the guts.
I didn't say you don't have the guts in general. I said you don't have the guts to look at that situation.
Well, that's what I mean. That's what I was calling. What situation are you talking about again?
What is it with you, man? You called me up and said that you heard me say that it was, I forget what I said now.
I forget what you said. All I remember is you said I don't have the guts.
I didn't say you. I said every progressive.
I just think it's wrong to paint people with a broad brush like that. I do have the guts. I've got the guts. I've got the guts, all right?
All right, you got the guts. I said the progressives don't have the guts to admit the invasion of Iraq might have stimulated much of what we have seen in the Middle East in terms of evolution toward or the muscling toward democracy. I think it's absolutely ignorant not to think that had no impact.
Not to think it had no impact?
Not to think it had impact, I should say.
I don't understand what you're saying. I'm just, I worry that when you say I don't have the guts.
You know what? The only reason why you called is because you didn't like me saying that you don't have the guts.
Yes.
You don't know what I was talking about. You don't know why I was talking about it. You don't care. You're just saying you don't like being told you don't have the guts.
Well, I don't know what you were talking about, but I do know you said that I didn't have the guts.
And I wasn't talking about you. I was talking about every progressive. It wasn't an individual, personal thing, okay?
Right, but you meant me.
Get rid of him, will you?
Well, wait a minute, Phil.
Bud, don't put these psycho cases through, okay?
You had the guy of the year last night.
Yeah, he was one of your guests.
He was one of my guests. What are these people? Don't put any guests. This guy is, he's a mess. So just don't put these people. You don't have the guts. You said that I don't have the guts.
What was he saying?
He was upset with the fact that I said that he didn't have the guts. Progressives didn't have the guts. The guts to admit that the war in Iraq may have been a major spark to what was going, what happened later, the so-called Arab Spring. They don't want to admit that. Okay, they don't have the guts.
Yeah, so he was upset and you said he didn't have the guts.
That's exactly what I'm telling you. Never mind. We got to go. We got to split. We have to heave ho, baby. We got to move and groove. We got to jam up and jelly tight. This has been the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Our show is produced by Dan Northcraft, Fred Scotty, and Chris Johnson, and me, Phil Hendry. Join us at philhendryshow.com for all of our archived audio, video, and more, our daily podcast. Get a backstage pass and find out what it are all about. And by the way, we have many, many more exciting announcements to make concerning our website and our overall presence on the World Wide Web. And I think we want to thank Grade A Radio for one of the ideas tonight, and maybe even Drink Duff 77. Until then, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Good night.
Phil Hendry.